Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. Kim spoke to Moshe and he said to him, Ani Hashem Yudkei Vavkei. The Torah goes on to say the Dalal, the famous Dalal of Lashayna Shel Geula. Vayitzeischem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. I will take you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. Vitzalti Eschem Me'avaydosam. I will save you from their work. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. After everything is said and done, you will know that I am Hashem your God that takes you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. Now, this is a very shver thing to understand. That was the first stage. I will take you out from under the civilized Mitzrayim, the burdens of Mitzrayim. And then you will know that I am Hashem that took you out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. That was the first, very first chelik of the Geula. So why does it say over here that after everything is said and done, you will know that I took you out from Tachas Sivlos Mitzrayim? After the fourth thing, you should already be on a much higher madriga. Why does it say here, after the Velokachti, you will know that I took you out from under Sivlos Mitzrayim? So the Satmar Rebbe says over here, Amayudiki Yisai. Satmar Rebbe says that there are many spiritual forces in the world, Lamailam and Ateva. And not necessarily are they all from Hashem. In other words, there's the Koyach HaKedusha, and there's many different forces from the Koyach HaTumah. I mentioned once before that somebody once met a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon in the street, and he told him, go tell your Rebbe that at this moment, this is what he was doing. He came to the Vilna Gaon and told him, this is what the Vilna Gaon told him. Was he holding on to his stick at the time? He said, yeah. He said, that Kishif, little kids in Mitzrayim knew that. There are many things that are lamailam and ateva that are not necessarily from the koyach hakedusha. And in the olden days there were nevi'ei sheker, and in the olden days there were many forces outside of the koyach hakedusha. As a matter of fact, there's a famous question: how in the world is it possible that the yidden should see the makis, the ten makis, that the yidden should go through kriyas yamsuf, that the yidden should see matan tov? How is it possible that they could rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we were to see one of the makis, we think that we would change over, we'd be a chofetz chaim overnight. How in the world is it possible that the yidden should see all of that and they should still rebel against Hashem? One of the answers that's given is by the Svarim. The Yidden were not so spoiled from great supernatural things, because they saw Kishif in their lives, they saw other supernatural things. So, to say that in Bavade came from the Koyach HaKedusha, there were skeptics amongst them, there were people that doubted, they weren't necessarily as spoiled as we would be. We never see these things, so we think if we'd see a nace, oh, we'd be Chofetz Chaims overnight. But they were used to seeing things that were Lamailam and Ateva. So it's not so simple, just because they saw Nisim and Mitzrayim, that it came from the Koyach HaKedusha. What is the litmus test to know that something comes from the Koyach HaKedusha? If you see that people change L'Teiva, if you see that people are Makabal on themselves an Oil HaTeira, if you see that they're Mamish elevated in Ruchnias, then you know that this Taka came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after the Hitzesi, after the Hitzalti, after the Vigalti, the Lokachti Eschem Lilom, the Svarim says, referring to Matan Torah. When there's a Kabbalah HaTeira, you'll know that the original Yitzir was from me, v'yadatam ki ani Hashem hamoitzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Until it leads to a concrete Kabbalah, until it leads to a concrete Aliyah, you're not yet sure that this comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mentioned in the Navi Shir that Rav Yaakov Sasportas, the great fighter against the Shabsai Tzvi, he writes, how is it possible that people fell for the Shabsai Tzvi, and great people fell for the Shabsai Tzvi? So he says, you have no idea. If you'd be living in those days, you would see Ruchnias de Kekoiches that like you never saw before. LaMarshall, there was a fellow that was a big misnagit to the Shabsai Tzvi, and he fought against him, and after a day's work, he comes home and he sees a crowd by his house. So he's wondering, what's this all about? His two daughters were standing in the middle of the crowd. His two daughters were ignorant of anything. They didn't know how to read Lashon Kodesh. They didn't know how to daven. And his two daughters are quoting verbatim pages from the Zohar HaKadosh Baal Peh. I saw this, and I was like, wow. You know, so he got shaken up by this. There were women, he writes, that used to walk in the street, and they were told that if they waved their kerchiefs in the middle of the air, they're going to kill the Ruchos Rois. And they waved their kerchiefs in the air, and you could see blood coming out of midair. This is what Rav Yaakov says, Aspartus writes. So is it a Pella? When people saw this, they believed in the Shavsei Tzvi. They thought that the Geula was coming. But it came from the Koyach HaTovah. When the Satan sees that he has something to work with, he can create Marais that people think are supernatural from Hashem. That is the Provis of the Satmar Rebbe, that Nisim v'Niflois, that in itself means nothing. In Ger, there's a saying, Oysus v'Oysim v'Admas v'Neichom. We're not big believers necessarily in Nisim. The Iker is Kabbalah Satayr, thus is the Iker. After Velakachi Eskam Lila Om, V'yadakim Kiyani Hashem, then you'll know that I am Hashem, Hamoichi Eskam Yitakas Tivlis Mitzrayim. Today was the yard site of my Rosh Yeshiva, Remordcha Gift Agoin, Remordcha Gift Bezechetzadik Levroche. And, famous word that he said over, it was mentioned last night, there was an asifa, was a chroinai, famous machshava that he said on this week's parish. It says, Ve'heveisi eschem el ha'oretz, asher nososi es yodi, losei shayshol Avraham liyiskok liyakev, I will bring you to the land that I swore to give to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, v'nosati yoyshol lochem, moy rosho ani Hashem. I will give it to you as an inheritance. I am Hashem. So the Baal HaTurim says over here that the word Moirosha you find in the Torah twice. Once over here, V'nasati Oysolachem Moirosha Ani Hashem. And the second time you find in Devarim, Torah Tziva Lanu Moisha Moirosha Kihilas Yaakov. So the question is, why is it called a Moirosha? It should be Yerusha. I will give you Eretz Yisrael as a Yerusha. Torah Tziva Lanu Moisha, Yerusha Kihilas Yaakov. What is this Moirosha? It's mashma that the Yerusha still has a connection to the Moirish. In other words, it's not completely ours, it still has a connection to the one that's giving it over. So give the set of Moiridic thing. The difference between a Yerusha and a Moirosha is a Yerusha, when children inherit a father, let's say he leaves them each $10,000. That's their own personal nechosim. Each child could do with those $10,000 whatever he wants. This one could invest it in stocks and bonds. This one could use it for an addition to his house. This one could use it for a vacation. Each one has resources to do it, and nobody could tell the other guy what to do with it. But there's a different kind of a thing called a Mayrosha. That's an heirloom. An heirloom is something else completely. Let's say the family has a chair that was passed down from generations, that an ancestor that was an Odom Godel, this was his chair in the Beis Medrash. And one of the members of the family is given the right to keep it in his house. That's not his personally. That belongs to the family. It's an heirloom, and they look at this mamrish. This is a remembrance of the Elta Zayde. Let's say this fellow decides that it would fit better with the decor of the room if he would paint it white. Sugar, don't take it away from him. This is not yours. It's an heirloom. It belongs to the entire family. It's still here, Mikayach the Mayrish. Zokrev Gifter, that's the pshat. By Torah and by Eretz Yisrael, it's not a Yerusha. It's not your own personal thing. It's a Moirosha. You have to treat the Torah like an heirloom. You can't change it. You can't twist it. You can't, you know, use it in your own ways and interpret it in your own ways. Shalai Alfi Maseira. This is an heirloom that was passed down from generation to generation. Mikayach the Moirosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave it over to Moshe. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mifinai, Masarli Yeshua, Yeshua's Kainim, etc., etc. It's not for you to change. You have to guard it, you have to treat it like a relic, mamish, with its full value, with its full preciousness. But we have no right to change it. Same thing with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a Moirosha. It's not a land like any other land. You live it, it's your own private property. It's all there, Mikayach Hashem. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, I'll be the dictates of the Torah, you'll be able to keep Eretz Yisrael. If you don't, if you want to do your own things there, live in a priest's dick away, whatever, Yashalei Alpi Torah. It's like the Kuzri says, that Eretz Yisrael spits out those that don't live Alpi Derech HaTorah. That's the Pshat Moirosha, not a Yerusha, it's an heirloom. There's a Maisa, famous story. There's a shul in Cleveland, one of the biggest reform shuls around. At the turn of the century, in the beginning of the 20th century, they were still an Orthodox shul. And one day the board of directors decided that there's no need in the Nusach HaTfilah to say two Yukum Purkins. One Yukum Purkin will suffice. Why do you need a Yukum Purkin, especially for the Marana V'Rabbanan, and one for the Kehillah? We're all part of one big Kehillah. We're all the same. One Yukum Purkin will suffice. They took out one Yukum Purkin, and then everything came crashing down. They ended up taking another thing out, and another thing out, and being mocked and dropped and davening. And today it's one of the biggest Reformed temples. Zero Shaykhs to true Yiddishkeit. That's what happens. The Torah is not yours. Even one would think Yukum Purkin is it for the most important things in the Torah. It's a minig. Minig is eichet like a din. You play around, you tinker with our Messiah a little bit, you tinker with that heritage, you tinker with the heirloom, everything comes crashing down. That's what the Torah is telling us over here with Eretz Yisrael, and the same thing applies with the Torah. Vayidaber Moshe came El Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over this message to the Bnei Yisrael. They didn't listen to Moshe. The simple shot is shortness of breath, like Rashi says, someone that's panting heavily because of hard work, he can't concentrate on what you're saying. The words don't sink in. Came from hard work. Yalkut Hagir Shuni says a beautiful shot over here. The Bnei Yisrael we know was supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, but they're only there for 210 years. Why? So one reason brought down of the Rishonim is because the work was so hard that the work that it was supposed to do in 400 years, they did in 210 years. Avayda Kosher, Avayda Beparach, that made it that they accomplished work-wise what they were supposed to do. They did it in 210 years. There was another reason why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that if they stay any longer, then they're going to sink into the Nun, the Madregas HaNun, the 50th Shar HaTumah, and then they'll be gone forever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to shorten the Golas, and it had to be made up in future generations. We're still in Golas HaRayim HaZeh, to make up for those years. We don't know exactly how the Cheshbon fits in, but we make up for that. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him this. He comes to the Bnei Yisrael, it's time to leave. He said, what do you mean it's time to leave? We're supposed to be here for 400 years. So Moshe Rabbeinu told him these reasons. Avayda Kosher, you already accomplished that. Also, Hashem is scared, you're going to fall into the 50th Madrega. They didn't want to accept this reason that they're short and ruchni is, when we avoid the caution that the work is so hard, and that made up for it. They weren't willing to accept those reasons. As far as they were concerned, we have to be here for 400 years. If we're not here for 400 years, it's far from the Zman of the Gula. The Kaitzer Ruch and Avodah Kosher, that's Meramis, to the two reasons. They were short in Ruchnius, they were sinking quickly, and secondly, the Avodah Kosher made up for those extra years. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hein B'nai Yisrael, the B'nai Yisrael will not listen to me. Ani I am stuffed up in my lips. The Koyach Adibur of Moshe was not clear. So the question is, why Takia wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's dibur clear? What was the siba for that? We know the Medrash that says he was a little baby in the house of Paray, so the advisors said that this might be the Moshiach in Shal Yisrael. They saw pikhus in him, and they wanted to see, maybe Takia, he should be killed. So they put diamonds in front of him, they put hot coals in front of him, and he was about to pick the diamonds. The Malach pushed his hand to the hot coals, put it to his mouth. But why in Hashemayim were they misaved that the Koyach HaDibur of Moshe should not be a regular Koyach HaDibur? So there's various reasons brought down in the Mefarshim. The Drosh HaSharan says that a lot of times you find people that are gewaldige speakers, but they say nothing. They have a tremendous power of oratory. They're able to rabble-rouse, they're able to rile up the olam. But if you really look into what they're saying, the words are mamish, you know. I remember hearing once a drosha from Jesse Jackson. He spoke by the Democratic Convention. I gotta tell you, I was mesmerized. It was a pacha to me, you know, that he speaks like that. But anyone that knows the things, that happens to be that speech was pretty good. But anyone knows that, you know, he's not a leader. Unfortunately, he leads his people, you know, down the drain. He's not a leader that brings his people up. A guy could be a Meyerdeke speaker. There were plenty of Rishonim over the years that were able to rouse up their people, but for the wrong things, and the principles that they espoused were the wrong principles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that Moshe Rabbeinu, his words are Kadosh Be'etzem, and they're accepted not because he's a great speaker, because Be'etzem, his words are Kadosh, and Be'etzem, his words are fit to listen to. See, Bedavka took away his Kayach HaDibur, and in that way, the words themselves, without the outer glitz and without the outer glamour, people will be able to be mekabelit. As I zok the drushes around. The Yalkut Ma'am Loyes brings down another shot from one of the Mepharshim. I think it's based on a medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that the same mouth that communicates directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be the same mouth that communicates directly with Paray. It can't be. Paray, which is the mamish, the Makor of the Avi Avos HaTumah, that same mouth should be an intermediary between the two. That can't be. See, the Dafka made it that Moshe should not have the Kayach HaDibur. He will need Aaron to be the Melech Beinayim. Aaron will be the intermediary between Moshe and Paray. And that way Moshe speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Aaron is the one that speaks to Paray. So he's up the Yalkut Ma'am Loyes based on a medrash. The Maral says in the Flidikip Shat. The Maral says, where does the Kayach HaDibur come within a person? Where does it come from? It's a blend of the Neshama and the Guf together. A Neshama by itself is a spiritual component of the person. It can't speak by itself. Malachim do not have the Kayach HaDibur the way man does. Malach is a total Ruchni. They don't have a Kayach HaDibur. Of course, they have means of communication, but they don't have that regular Kayach HaDibur. To the other extreme, behemoths that don't have neshamas, they also have a means of communication, but they don't have the Kayach HaDibur. Where does the Kayach HaDibur come from? It comes from the fusion of a neshama teich, a physical group. It says, Vahipach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he breathed into Adam, Nishmas Ruach Chaya, he breathed into him the breath of life, by Yehiho Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, Taish Tetargum Onkelus, L'Ruach Memalala. When did that Kayach HaDibur come from? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where did it come from? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed the breath of the Neshama into Adam. The breath of the Neshama, the fusion of Guf and Neshama together, that is the Kayach HaDibur. This is why the Rambam brings down the halachis of Nedarim and Nezirus and Shruis under the category of Hafloa. Based on the pasuk, Ish ki yafli linder neder nozer lahazer lashem. Because the greatest pella in the Bria is the fact that the Guf and the Neshama could exist, they could coexist together. They're mamish tarti de sasri. This is a dover gashmi, this is a dover ruchni. How could the blend, how could they coexist? That is the pella of the Bria. The Kayach HaDibur comes through the pella of the Bria. That is why it says ish kiyafli, and that is why the Rambam stels avek all of the Hilchas Dibur under the category of Haflor. The Moshe Rabbeinu was not like a regular human. A regular human has his neshama fused well into the guf. He has a Kayach HaDibur. By Moshe Rabbeinu, his neshama was lamayla from his guf. It was a lamayla dik in neshama that didn't totally fit into the guf. Memela that affected his Kayach HaDibur, and his Kayach HaDibur was not that of a regular person. The Siba, the way it happened was like the Medrash says, but Be'etzem, Moshe Rabbeinu was not right for a regular Kayach HaDibur until Achramat and Torah. The Medrash says that over the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a special Kayach that he should be able to speak regardless of that fact. He got back that Kayach HaDibur after Matan Torah. Who Aaron and Moshe? After the Torah's Miyachas, Moshe and Aaron, says, Who Aaron and Moshe? Asher Omer Hashem Lohem, Hoitziu as Bnei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Al Tzivay Shem. Haim HaMidabrim El Pari Melech Mitzrayim. They were the ones that spoke to Pari Melech Mitzrayim. Vahoytzi Yis B'nai Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. Hu Moshe V'Aaron. Repeats it. It said, Hu Aaron and Moshe. And then again, Hu Moshe V'Aaron. Why did it repeat it? So Rashi, Hu Moshe V'Aaron. Haim B'Shlichusam U'V'Tzitkosam B'Tchiva V'Atzayim. They remained with their tzitkis, with their nemonis, with their trustworthiness from the beginning of their shlichus till the end. Rabbi Meir Bloch tells the Rosh Yeshiva, whose yard site will be Meir Tzashem this week, he asked the question, like, what's the Torah telling us over here? Like, what's the chiddush? Moshe Rabbeinu was tzaddikim, they remained tzaddikim, they didn't go off the derech. What's the chiddush over here that they were shluchim nemonim mitchilos ha'matzayim? He said a myriad of thing. You find often that a person starts a project, L'shem Shamayim, with all of the great kavanas, and he starts an organization, he puts hard work into it, and then somewhere in the middle, it turns from a tzorchei tzibur thing to the fellow's own personal organization. We're not talking about someone that takes money from a tzedakah organization, but he starts taking the organization personally. And if you start giving him suggestions how to run this and how to run that, you know, listen, I know better than anybody else. He starts taking it personally. If a person means it totally l'shem shamayim, he's not, you know, he's not doing it for himself. It's not his own personal thing. He's doing it l'shem Hashem, sa'adarabha. If he's doing it l'shem shamayim, he'd be willing to hear suggestions of how to best utilize this organization l'shem shamayim. But what happens is, people start taking the thing personally, and it becomes their own private thing. And they start being make a little bit with the organization itself as well. The Torah is telling us over here, Hein Moshe v'Aharon, Hein Oimdim b'shlichusam b'tchilosam v'ad soifam. They didn't waver, they didn't change, they were shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitchila v'ad soif. They did not make it their own personal job. It was totally l'shem shamayim. One of the symbols of this, one of the simonim of this is, you find in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, Moshe Rabbeinu, he works hard in putting up the Mishkan. He was the one that learned everything. He's the one that teaches Bezalel everything. He puts it up, he works hard, and he wouldn't walk into the Mishkan until Hashem called him to come into the Mishkan. You're it. You are it. The Mishkan is your building. You put it together. You're the whole, you know, the whole designer of this Mishkan. Yeah. Moshe Rabbeinu did not look at this as his building. Moshe Rabbeinu was working for Hashem. I'm a stranger, just like anybody else. So until HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him in personally, this is not mine. That is the way he looked, and that's the way he was a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Elie Meir used to go around collecting for the yeshiva, so he used to keep a cheshbon. He used to keep a cheshbon of how much money he owes the yeshiva for personal expenses. He stayed over here, he ate in a restaurant. He didn't, you know, charge the yeshiva for that, of course. Even though he was on a mission, you know, he wasn't home, but this was his own personal expenses. And Midr Gisa, if he laid out money for the yeshiva, he kept it in a little book. So one of his Talmidim that was taking him around noticed he has in his notebook, I owe the yeshiva $1. I owe the yeshiva 50 cents. The yeshiva owes me 7 cents. So the Pacha looks at Rabbi Meir, says, Rabbi, he says, you give away so much to the yeshiva, so you're makbid, that the yeshiva should pay you back 7 cents. What's the pshat? Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Meir said, if I'm not going to be makbid on the 7 cents that the yeshiva owes me, then if, let's say, I owe the yeshiva 7 cents, I'm going to stop being makbid on that as well. That I don't want to have. Mercedes, the 7 cents that the yeshiva owes him didn't make a difference to him. But he was afraid, once he starts being mevater on pennies here and pennies there, then if he owes the yeshiva 7 cents, he's going to forget about that also. Now, wait a minute. He started the yeshiva. The yeshiva was his. What's the shot? The Teretz is, he looked at himself as a shliach of Hashem. The yeshiva is not my own personal maisid. The yeshiva is an organization for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I owe it 7 cents, yes, I owe it 7 cents, I have to pay it back. That was the mahalach of Gedolim, and that's what the Teretz is telling us over here about Moshe and Aaron. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor el Aharon, say to Aaron, Kach matcha, take your staff, unetayotcha amene mitzrayim v'yiyu ledam. So Rashi says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell it to Aaron? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu do it himself? Hakoras hatayv to the waters. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the waters in a basket when he was a child, and the water protected him. Memelach hakoras hatayv to the water. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot hit the water to make the dam come out of the water. And the Medrash says the same thing applied by Tzvardeya. When it came to Tzvardeya, the makkah was done al-yidei Aaron, not al-yidei Moshe, because a yes, the Tzvardeya came from the water, and it was made on Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu can't be the one to do it. Furthermore, by Kinam it was the same thing. Hayais, when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, the dirt covered the Mitzri and it hit him, the Mela Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do Kinam either. So, Shtelser the Kasha.
And I live, a friend of mine does me a favor. So first of all, he did it l'shem, doing me the favor. Yaakov wanted to do me a favor. So I do him, you know, I'm makir tayv. So I have to treat him as such. I have to be makir tayv to him and help him in other cases. My neighbor, he has feelings, he has regoshim. So to show him that I'm thankful that I'm makir tayv, so, you know, I have to take care of him. I have to make sure to pay back the favors. But you're talking about over here water. The water had no kavana over here for anything. The water's not a badas, right? The water has no feelings. So what's the pshat over here? Hakaras hatayv to the water. What does that mean? So I saw in the sefer from Ramatul Weinberg. You know, he has a shmuzin on the parsha. You see from over here, hakaras hatayv has nothing to do with paying back a person that's a badas or paying back a person to make him feel good. Hakaras hatayv is a din in me. I have to recognize that there was good done over here, and the male I have to see to it that mitzad me, I owe that object something. An object doesn't have any feelings. It doesn't have feelings. But mitzad me, I have to have that sensitivity that even if that is a daimen or whatever it is, I mitzad me have to realize that I am chayv and akoras hatayv. Rav Yisrael Gustman, the Katzadik Levracha, he's the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Nesach Yisrael. He's going out there. Daily Yisrael. So in front of his yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was a little area with flowers. And he used to water the flowers every couple of days. The Bachram, see, the Rosh Yeshiva was a zaken. They see him watering the flowers. Rather, you know, we'll do it ourselves. He says, no, I want to do it. And this went on day after day, and finally one of the talmidim says, it's not l'fi chvayim the Rosh Yeshiva to water the flowers, we're willing to do it. So he says, no. He says, I have to do it, I owe the flowers a special debt of gratitude. And he told them the story. He was on Rav Chaim Eiser's Beis Din before World War II, in Vilna. One day he's taking a shpatzir, he's taking a walk with Rav Chaim Eiser, they're going to the outskirts of the city, and they're passing by flowers. Rav Chaim Eiser starts telling him, this flower over here has vitamins. It's good. Gives kayach. This flower over here is poison. These flowers. He had no idea what Rav Chaim Eiser was talking about, what he wanted. A few months later, he understood already very well what Rav Chaim Eiser wanted. When he had to run away with his wife to the forest and spend, during the war, he was in the forest for a couple of years with the partisans, and he had to live off of flowers. And because of what Rav Chaim Eiser told him, he knew what he could eat and he knew what he couldn't eat. He says, I owe the flowers a debt of hakaras hatayv. I, the flowers, have no feelings, but mitzad myself, I have to display that midah of hakaras hatayv. I just want to say one more word from the Chofetz Chaim. It says, by the makkah of Orev, kitzesi es ho'ir, efreish es kapay al Hashem, when I leave the city, I will spread my hands out to Hashem to daven that he should take away this makkah. Why did he have to leave the city? Because the Mitzrayim brought the animals into their houses, and all the animals that were avodah zarah was in their houses. Memela, it was a land which is Mali Turman. Memela, he couldn't daven there. He had to go outside of the city. So Meir Shapiro asked the question, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find a house where there were no animals there. He had to bedafka go outside of the city. In all of Mitzrayim, there wasn't a house where the animals weren't inside the house. What's up? He had to go outside of the city. So he said over that he was once by the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim was a Zokin Muflik. And the Chofetz Chaim was complaining to him how the tznius, its mamash is faltering, the madrega of tznius is terrible, and people, you know, women are not dressing properly, and people are not careful. So I asked the Chofetz Chaim, he said, the Rebbe goes out into the street and knows about tznius. How does the Rebbe know that the tznius is no good? Suppose haste, how I know that the tznius is no good? You could feel it in the air. The Kedusha is missing from the air. If the Kedusha is missing from the air, you know that there's Tumah there, it could only be because of priests. He was in his house. He didn't leave his house. He was already very old. He was able to feel in the air that there's Tumah in the air. It's the same thing over here. Dr. Meir Shapiro, it's the same thing over here. Even if Moshe Rabbeinu would have found a house where there were no animals, but the fact that in all of Mitzrayim the animals were there, and the air was permeated with Tumah, he wouldn't be able to daven over there. And they look at Seisias or Ir, it's only when I leave the city, that's when I'll be able to daven. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.